Angie has made it easier than ever to hire high-quality pros to get all your home service jobs done well. Just bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie will connect you with local pros who match your specific needs. Or book a service instantly at an upfront price. So join the millions of homeowners who use Angie to care for their homes and get your next home service job done well. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
I'll come, I'll juggle, I'll hand out laxatives. So you just name and phone number if you'd like.
Is she gonna do it?
Yeah, thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Human waste is not enough for this woman to not sign up.
Yes! Woo. That's right, we are back. Welcome to the Official and Practical Jokers podcast. My name's Casey Jost.
I'm James McCarthy.
I am Tina Santamaro.
And we are going back in time again to watch the finale of season one. This is the last episode of season one. Very exciting. You could watch it on HBO Max. You could find mostly any episode of Impractical Jokers you want, watch it on HBO Max, or go to True TV, and hopefully this episode pops up. I'm not sure how that works.
Yeah, just you can watch it. You should watch it, 100%. Yeah. This is a great finale. It's my favorite finale of the entire series so far. Right. Which is not good for job security. It's the only one I didn't work on. So
it's also a one of a kind finale.
Mm. Yeah. So right? We have a one of a kind guest. Tina, do you want to tell us who it is?
It is Joe Gatto.
Welcome, Joe.
Hey. Hi, guys.
Hey, buddy.
Hi.
Thanks for doing this, Joe.
I feel like I've seen you since I watched the after parties.
This is great. We're talking season one. We got the season one finale, basically. It's like your episode, which is very fun.
Yeah.
Season one finale.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
What can you remember from the season one
I've
finale?
I've never seen this look
tell
on Joe Gatto's face.
We'll
you look confused. Yeah, it's like you remember everything. This is.
You're talking that's a decade ago.
I know, but you remember everything.
That was a haircut punishment, right?
Come on. You gotta beat Murr because he remembered a lot from the season one premiere.
The four-way haircut punishment, right?
Yep. Got it.
Did we go back to White Castle to start it?
No.
Nope.
No.
Not in this episode.
No. I don't remember the rest of the episode.
You wanna take us through it, Tina?
There's a line that
if you give me a line, I probably know. Okay. Well.
Yeah, because this is my favorite line from the episode.
Good.
And it's, I'll come, I'll juggle, and I'll hand out laxatives. Ugh. Do you remember who said that and what that was from?
That's a good one.
Is that from Dylan's Candy Bar?
Yes.
It is.
Yeah.
This is
and
fun.
And who said it?
Was it Sal?
It was you.
I'll come, I'll juggle, I'll hand out laxatives.
Look, yeah, Dylan's Candy Bar was great because that was, I remember Dylan's Candy Bar was the first time we had to kind of switch on the fly. Remember, Casey, they said we could do an employee IFB, and all of a sudden they were like, no, you have to be at a station, right? And then we had to figure out what we could do as standalone, and we surprised each other with what we pulled out, and we had to say what we would do at parties, at kids' parties, right? Yep. That was the bit.
And
we literally came up with that like 2 days before we were filming there, and then everybody scrambled to just get like the weirdest props we could put together.
I mean, I was watching it thinking this is stuff that we would do now. Like flapjacks, I thought was like the way he's like flapjacks is great. The brick with pain.
Yeah. Pain.
Like I think that worked in any, you know, it's just weird stuff.
Wasn't there like a mannequin leg? Didn't somebody have a mannequin or something? I think that didn't make the cut. Yeah. I think the mannequin got pulled out, and I think that mannequin bonus tip was reused and Will Thaxton painted it to be the sex robot for Q when we bury it years later.
Yep, yeah. I think that makes sense. Yeah. Thaxton keeps
there
everything.
There is a jar of urine.
Isn't there ashes? A urine, not ashes. I knew it was either urine or ashes.
Both.
Yeah, and then what's the other
too.
Bit?
There's an urine.
And there was
it.
Yeah, in your turn.
It's both urine and ashes.
Oh, we were really hitting on all cylinders. Yeah.
We'll give you another hint for what else is in this episode. So it's an iconic Joe Gatto bit.
Okay.
That's
there's so many though, guys. I mean, it's impossible.
But think back.
But this, I think, is one from your.
Is it Goofy Patatas?
Joker's days.
Oh, yeah. Was it nosing?
A full nosing challenge.
Oh, so this was the full nosing where we were let loose in the restaurant.
Which restaurant?
Everybody went and we were all Veselka, right? Yep. We were all Veselka working as Oh my God. And that was so great because I just rested my nose on that woman for probably the longest I had done it ever at that point.
So good.
We actually had to cut it down how long I did it because it wasn't enough time in the episode. We're like, okay, people get it. But I had my nose on that person by the host stand forever. Yeah. Oh, that was a great, Murray got caught in a great way, right? The person turned right into it and they were basically nose to nose.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That one was tough because I was getting releases at the time, season one, obviously. And it was so cold. And I was like outside because we didn't want to like sign people in the store. Yep. Like obviously everyone would see
freezing
it. So I had to like keep track of like, okay, that person was nosed, but they like just got soup. So they're just starting their dinner.
Yeah.
Like I had to be, and then I was just waiting in the cold, like staring at these people shivering.
The hardest part of that was too, that most people didn't even know anything happened. Right.
Cause oh, of course.
You had to explain to somebody like, yeah, somebody put a nose on you. I'm like, what? You basically had to rat us out because if we did it correctly, nobody knew.
Oh, dude. I mean, I completely lied. I like lied to everyone season one when I did releases. I was just like, oh, you were in the shot. We're doing some news and we need releases. And people would be like, you need releases for the news?
Or you remember that BTS next door of Veselka was an empty storefront that wasn't rented out. And it was basically just a garbage dump. It was just a empty, completely empty space that was under construction. And then they stopped doing construction. So we basically had to clear it out and make the best of it, because when they showed up, this is when earlier back in the day when we didn't show up as early as we used to, like after season one, we realized like we have to get the locations way earlier. So it was basically, we were standing on plywoods and it was freezing in there. They brought in space heaters and it was sawdust all over the floor. It was craziness. I remember that one. That was crazy.
Yeah. Wild West back then.
So you brought in space heaters and there was sawdust on the floor.
And we made that comment. We were like, that's not good. We probably shouldn't.
I love that Q was still a firefighter at the time and allowed it. Yeah.
Was nosing the bit you guys were going there, or was that another audible on the spot? Like, it's too cold. Let's just nose everybody and get out of here.
That was the bit because I had done it in Costco and it really had taken off.
Yeah.
And people really enjoyed it. And then we said we should all try it again. And that was one of those things, like sometimes when we do something in a bit, that was a little weird because I remember the guy saying, oh, we're not going to be as good as you at it because you have years of practice and a big nose. And I was like, but it's just one of those things where it's funny to fail. It's funny to watch people try and fail.
Exactly.
So that's why we went for it.
Murr was saying that last week on the episode, how like you guys early on realized that it's like you don't all have to accomplish it. It's even better if there's like big fails. And that's part of the comedy. Okay, another thing that happened in this episode is interstitials.
Walk and talks, baby. Walk and talks.
Yeah.
Oh,
Those are great. I think, you know, you always said like that was such a great way for the home audience to really know who your personalities are. And like, you know, it was something that I think the network had originally said that they wanted you to do, but you guys really, like everything, made it your own.
We had had a conversation that we had put in a cut that I remember the first interstitial, quote unquote, was the chapstick conversation between Murr and Sal in the BTS of the shoe store, which to this day I think is one of our strongest bits ever. I put it up against anything we've ever done.
Wow.
And because it really had everything. And when I did the first cut of it, I left that combo in, and I remember showing it to the guys and I was like, we've never done this. I said, but this, people should see this. People should see us just talking and being, it was as entertaining as anything we were doing. It was us being us and all that. So when they saw it, Mark Juris, the head of the network at the time, had said, you guys should put more of this stuff in. But every time we did it, like, it was always distracted because somebody was going. It was always three of us in the BTS and one guy on the floor. So we'd have a piece of it, but it wouldn't be all of us just concentrating to do it. So I said one day, we were at a park. I was like, let's just walk and shoot and just, you know, sit around and do it and see if it fits. And we can use it between bits. And that's how it came to fruition, because we basically had our first interstitial live on the floor, you know. And then that graduated to us being more comfortable and less focused on the bits and being able just to get more comfortable production and everything and open it up, and we shot for longer, and those BTS moments just naturally came, and that's why we didn't need the interstitials anymore.
You want to know something funny, dude? Like, I forget actually who was showrunner when we started doing the interstitials.
PJ.
But so he was like, Casey, I need you, you know, they want you to, or he didn't say they, he was just like, I want you to write their interstitials for them so that it's easier. And I was like, what? And he was like, yeah, like write what you want them to say, like, you know, things to talk about
them.
And I even at that point I was like, do you know these guys? Like, they're gonna be off the cuff. I could take a week and write something that's half a quarter as funny as if they just riff for two minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think those people don't really, it takes people to get used to that strength of ours that we could just talk. You know, that's basically how Dinner Party was, you know, came out. And that's what everybody loves about it and what we love about it. It's just, it's not scripted. We basically just talk. Each of us brings a little something that we're going to do. Sometimes you don't even have that and it just works.
So the next bit is...
it's out of college. Do you know where college? This one is?
Yeah, this is where we're trying to sign people to sign up for clubs.
Nice, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is so funny because even then you're 35 years old at a college.
That's so like, funny. Yeah.
It was like, but it worked. I mean, I don't know. It just felt like maybe like a grad student or something.
Yeah, that was great. I was on the steps of Pace University, right? And I remember we were up against the gun because it was about to start raining and there was a full like accident right by the two things happened. There was an ice cream man that wouldn't move right outside in front.
Oh, my gosh.
Enemy of the show. So he was, you know, the was going, and he was there, and we were like, this guy's got to move. He wouldn't move for nothing. He was like, you know, he's like, I lose too much money. This is my biggest time. So we had to wait till the ice cream man would move. And right after the ice cream man left, there was a huge accident on the entry to the FDR right there, or to the Brooklyn Bridge, whatever's right there. And there was like...
It's in the cut.
You hear sirens.
Yeah, you hear it.
We had to keep going. And there was sirens in the background and just a whole ruckus right there. And our cameras were facing that and it was super distracting. So we had to flip it. And so we literally just got that bit in, which I remember was a crazy day.
And it's a good bit. Like, I mean, there's a lot of...
It's also the first time we filmed at Pace, right?
Yeah.
I think that's our relationship, right? That wasn't before Q's Rosie O'Donnell punishment, was it?
No, that's season
Q's Rosie was season two, right?
Yeah, that's
the first time we went inside to Pace, but I think that was our first bit with Pace University.
There's a bit here that we haven't done since it was in the pilot, I think, and it's a location that we want to do again, but we haven't been able to get this location.
What number is it in the episode? What bit is it?
Four.
Is it the four? It's the fourth bit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's a Joker, right?
No.
Oh, it's a full all four? Yeah.
No, this season like has
everything
four
moves so fast in that.
Yeah,
they're cut down like very quick.
So Murr has to take a dump. He's like in a rush. is one of the bits.
What a clue.
Yeah, it could be any bit across any season.
Sal's going.
You did a lot of dancing.
I do a lot of dancing. Was,
I mean, that's another one that's like, what bit could that be?
Yeah, Sal is true. Going to lose his virginity.
Wow. And what about Q?
I think Q refuses something.
Nothing.
He's got a lady.
I'll give you a big clue.
Good.
Sal's going up to lose his virginity.
Going up. Oh, it's the elevator one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Context clues, baby.
Oh, yeah. Q gets a phone number. He throws it to get the phone number. Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, and he's also hitting all the buttons, too. Yeah. And Sal makes the annoying sound.
Yeah.
My dancing is one of my
guy that I danced in front of is one of my favorite. His reaction was fabulous.
Oh, yeah,
you're right. In the elevator. Yeah. Yeah, he was great.
I clocked that. I like the way the elevator looks. It's a little scrappy because I think it looks like you just used the elevator camera that's on there. It's like a pinhole camera.
Do you remember that we couldn't see the BTS for real? We had to play back BTS. We couldn't see it real time because we didn't have the technology at the time to broadcast.
I didn't even know that. That was pilot,
watched,
right?
Really?
We watched that back, yeah. We had to watch back. So as we went up and we came down, we had to say if we got it to the guys. And I was like, this is funny. You guys should watch it. Or this is funny. You should watch it. And we'd have to reboot and watch it down.
Was that just for...
Just the elevator.
Just the elevator. Okay.
Yeah, because the old New York City, you know, an elevator shaft, try to get RF frequency to like, you know, wireless frequencies. Right. It's impossible. It's like trying to use your cell phone on an elevator.
Right.
Yep.
And when you guys do that, it's so fun because like, you know, it sounds like it's a nightmare, but really what you just do is you watch it like as if you're watching TV and you comment on it. It's so it does work in that way. It's just not ideal for time.
The only reason it worked for Sal's was because Sal, we knew what floor Sal was stopping on. So we were able to put it right when Sal, we punished Sal in the elevator. We were able to put the equipment right outside the door on the floor that Sal was. And we were able to watch Sal live.
Yeah, yeah. At that point, we had such better technology. Season one, and this one was the pilot.
We basically used like whatever was on clearance at Radio Shack and whatever we had in our pockets.
So how big was the crew on season one? Like, would you say? So
there was 8 people on our crew besides us.
It depends on the day, because if it was, we had 2 different kinds of days. If it was
there was eight full-timers, not including post. And then, you know, with PAs and stuff, we probably were 15 to 20 people. Now we're, you know, full-timers were probably 40 And
yeah.
then,
yeah.
And then, you know, when on any shoot day, we're probably up to 65 people.
Yeah. It's changed a lot, but I mean,
it became a real TV show, and we actually, you know, we shot way more with less people. Like if you look at the number of bits, you know, mm-hmm. you know, we had the math done for the 200th episode for season 8 to finish it out. Right. And it was 537 bits. 537 challenges that we had shot.
Wow.
And
wow.
Yeah, 537 challenges and the punishments, however many episodes, were at 220 whatever. So it's pretty insane to think about.
That's yeah. incredible.
And then think about how many jokes are inside each bit, and then think about how much comedy we've had to make, right? Inside yeah. each joke, especially those first ones. If you talk about like the season finale, if you do a season one finale, if you do a joke count inside that over how many bits that we did, you know, we're making, you know, there's so much comedy that comes through the show. It's crazy. Mm.
Yeah. I mean, even in this, like a thing that happens, which is so funny, is like, you guys are like, Murr, you have to take a massive poop, or you have to take a massive dump. That's what he says.
Right.
You got to take a, and he goes in and you just see him go, poop alert. It's just like, it's such a funny way of like switching what it was, yeah. but like, he's like trying to candy coat it.
I got a poop alert.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. Do you want to talk about any other elevator ideas that we have, or maybe we just save it, we'll just see if it happens for the future?
I mean, elevators are always fun because it's instantly awkward, and you know, it always goes back to the days when Sal, like in real life, Sal would hate taking elevators with, because he knew when those doors closed, I was going to do something to embarrass him, you know?
Yeah. So you go like right in to real his life, face, right?
Like I just go right to him. Yeah. There was a bit where we used to stand nose to nose in an elevator and try, as soon as the door shut, and pretend we didn't know each other, just stand nose to nose. And I would hit the floor, like below the floor we were getting off, and Sal would go to the floor we were going to. We'd walk in, just look at the numbers, and then I would get off, and Sal would just stand there for one more floor.
Yeah.
So I have a question. When I've ever visited the set, you're involved in a lot of the directing, I feel like, that goes on. Even though there is a director, a full director, yep. you're making a lot of notes to that as well. In season one, when the crew was like a skeleton crew, were you directing all of the episodes, or did you have a director at that time?
We had a showrunner director, but we worked very closely. It was PJ, and mm-hmm. we worked very closely. PJ was more involved in directing the shots. And the camera, especially because back then our BTS setup wasn't as robust, where I could see like all the cameras as well, and our crew could hear us and all that stuff. You know, the crew in season one working the cameras couldn't hear us. That's why we put them next to us. Like if you'll notice the background, you'll see our crew in it because they had to be in the same room as us. Mm. That's not the case anymore. Wow. Now they can hear us.
Yeah.
So in the beginning, when I wanted to be able to call shots and stuff, but he would direct the shots, whereas I would direct the comedy if we got, you know, what we needed mm-hmm. and things like that. That's really my main role, is to say when we're done, when I think we have enough. But I think that's where I really fill in the blank.
But you also, you learned so much from your own show, which is impressive.
Amazing.
Like,
yeah.
Like
yeah.
the fact that you got to like try things out and learn like editing stuff. And like, you know, you not mm-hmm. only you're designing your show as you're learning about the design of the show. And like,
yeah,
you know, it's crazy. The tool belt that you got just from even just the
this show has taught me, you know, so much, and has equipped me to do, you know, my confidence level and being able to produce and all that has just come from Jokers, because each set is its own movie. But the big thing is like punishments are basically short films. If you think about it, they're like shorts.
Yeah.
You know, we have it like scripted. We know how it's going to go. If you look at some of them aren't, but a lot of them are just basically follow like Sal's, the way I screwed with Sal's mind. That mm-hmm. you know, the blow in his mind in season 8, my favorite punishment on Sal.
Yeah, like the no punishment punishment.
The no punishment like punishment.
Bungee jump.
That with you the cherry cut picker. Simi yeah. and I out.
Yes, we did. You guys are bonus punished, I think.
yeah, I think so.
It was so funny because we actually overshot that on purpose. I don't know if you remember, Tina, when we had the phone call, because I had to talk you guys into a little bit. I actually had to talk everybody into it. Nobody mm-hmm. saw it like I did. I remember first conversation was with Q and Murray. He was like, I just don't get it. I'm like, dude, I was like, he's just going to unravel. It's going to, you know, I see it happening, blah, blah, blah. We talked it out. They got on board, and Q was like, look, Q is great because like, if somebody's passionate about something, he has the faith to be like, look, do it. You know, if you think it's going to work that well, he has to trust us enough to do that. And then you and Simi are great too, because at a point I just have to be like, guys, it's just going to work. You're just going to have to trust me. And I don't think we've ever steered each other wrong, because sometimes like, we've had conversations where it's gone the other way, where I'd be like talking it out. Right. And as I'm talking to you guys, I realize it's not going to work. I'm like, you know what? Maybe we do need a little bit more, or or whatever. So, but I think in that one, I remember the conversation being like, Simi just said, he was like, all right, just shoot a lot. So we have a lot of options in case something works better. And each thing we did blew his mind better than I could have hoped. You know, you can't plan the unexpected, and we're not afraid to embrace the unexpected. Yeah. Like, we won't try to get it back on track. We love when it goes off the rails, because that's where our improv skills come in, and where we could just, you know, we know what's funny to us, you know, and we just keep on, you know, hammering that home.
So now that you said that, I want to bring up a really fun fact about this final punishment in the episode. This was a four-way punishment, which hasn't happened since, and you guys all messed with your looks. This was the pilot. You didn't have a television show yet, so you had done this without being on television. Like, you had all kind of ruined your looks. Like, Q had to go to work at the fire department with that. I remember Sal coming into the bar at Cargo when he worked there in that, wearing like his hair like that, and then like a couple days later he shaved it. But I remember being like, "What are you doing?" And it was just like, "It's for the pilot." And I'd be like, "It's not even a series yet, and you're doing." Like, that's an incredible thing that you all messed with your look, like, without even having a show.
Yeah.
But that's what you went for.
How long did you keep the mullet in?
I only kept it for a day because I had my next day off, and then I had to go back to work. The reason why I couldn't shave my hair was because I had my job, and I was working as the sales person in the store, and I couldn't, you know, go to work with like a dyed hair or whatever. Like, I needed to keep my look kind of professional.
I mean, I don't know. If it was a Walmart, I feel like it would be perfect.
Yeah, but that was that Giggle Baby. I mean, that was high end baby.
You're right.
You know, so it was a little different. But I remember also we were like, we had to do that to one guy, right? We couldn't shave everybody's head because then it's nothing. Like, we wanted it. And then my look was just so ridiculous. We're like, all right, who looked the stupidest with like long hair and a mullet? And hands down, it was me. You know?
Was great.
Because Sal's had long hair in his life. Murray'd be pretty impossible to do because we'd only have to do it with a wig. And thank God we didn't, because we were able to do that whole wig thing with Q later in life. And then Q wouldn't look as silly as I did. You know, my face is stupider than Q's.
Q's like perm is like a different thing altogether too. And
I think we actually said we have to perm one of us. And Q like balked and left. We're like, all right, so you're getting the perm. it was like
there's
really
no way he showed up to the firehouse like that, right? He had to shave his head.
He went one day.
At least one day.
I think he went one day. I think that was the agreement we all made, was we had to do it one day after, just to make it feel like even more of a punishment. And Murray, I think, was, he had a job or whatever, and he went, but they didn't realize that my next day was the day off. I got like one over them, which was fun.
You know, Murray, like, there's a moment where like that I think like could have happened in any season as well, is like Sal putting the shaving cream on Murr. Like, even in the first season or the pilot, even he like has this like, oh, I can't wait to get this idiot, you know? It's really funny that dynamic is still there, and it was there from the beginning. He's like, he's the one who's like messing with Murr's head is like really good.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't believe the biggest thing was when we were going to shave Murray's eyebrows, and I can't believe how anti the guys were. When I was like, guys, we're just going to shave his eyebrows. Don't worry, they'll grow back. And they're like, we can't do that without telling them. I'm like, don't worry, they'll grow back. It'll be fine. Wow. And when we shaved his eyebrow, like, that is a legit moment of like friendship and concern that Sal and Q have. Like, they are blown away that we did that to him. I feel like they feel like we crossed a big line there. Me, on the other hand, I was like, no, they'll grow back. I know Murray. I know what he's, you know, I know his line, and I didn't feel like that crossed his line. I was right. You know, they were talked into it, but it was so funny. If you look at Q's face when that first moment when we shaved Murray's eyebrow, that is, for me, one of the moments of the series that Q gets blown away as if it happened to him.
There's a lot of hair and like look things in this show, which is just like, it's not like going to the well. It's like, it's going to your strengths. I think it's like so funny.
Yeah, but I mean, we always use them. In a way, right? We don't just do them. Like, we'll use them for something, which is kind of fun. I think sometimes in the beginning, we just kind of did it because it was just a shock of seeing us that way. But now it's like, all right, now you look like this. Now go do that. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Mar, we're gonna shave your eyebrows. Now go get a driver's license photo. You know, like, things like, you know, you need that extra layer to make it feel like more of a sting.
And even if you do it, it's always a new spin that's not like doing, I mean, you guys are hyper aware of never like repeating ideas. Yeah. If it comes too close, you guys are like, let's not do that. So it's always good to have, you know, the creatives not rest on their laurels in that way.
Yeah, but we're also not afraid to retry something we think there's more comedy in mind for. And I think you have to. Like I said earlier, the number of bits that you shoot, it's impossible not to repeat stuff. Like, Cranjus will always be funny.
Yeah.
We could do that a million times. It's always funny. It's just something about it. That's why fans gravitate toward it. That's why we love doing it. It's just something funny about the church laugh, not being able to laugh while you're saying these ridiculous things. It's the reason why it works.
And sometimes you have to throw Dan Jost into it to spice it up, and that's fine.
The father of comedy.
And then he outshines us, and then what happens?
Yeah. So he gets his. Yeah. Off.
Speaking about going back, Murray said about the premiere episode, Costco, probably not a place we're going back. Is there any place from this episode that they're done with us? Is it Dylan's? Is it Veselka?
Oh, Dylan's for sure.
We're done there. Yeah, we Dylan's can't go back.
Sure. Yeah, we can't go back there for sure. I think that place is dead to us forever. As is IKEA. I think IKEA was like,
really?
Well, IKEA was like literally nobody from the staff of IKEA talked to us all day. There was no one there. No one was working the section. Mm-hmm. Literally, we spent the time more that day, I swear to God, selling Swedish furniture than we did doing our comedy show. Like, we were helping people pick out stuff because we were the only people.
And you just like slipped into your day job immediately.
It's funny. I'm talking about the Verhurken, and you know what, more than I'm doing anything. But and the stuff we were doing was so ridiculous there, which was really fun. But I don't know if IKEA would ever have us back after we finished it. Like, there are some huge brands that I would love to get into. I just like. You know, I love getting into places where people have questions and they have something to say. Like Best Buy would be the best for me because people genuinely need help there with technology. They're looking for informed people. You know, you could hardly find somebody. So when you do, it's like, oh, help me. You know what I mean? Like that.
And everything has like four versions. It's like a dehumidifier with four versions. And it's like, which one of these do you recommend? Yeah. And that's just like a conversation you could have. You know what I mean? You could be like,
I would love to eventually shoot at a Best Buy. You know, I think that would be so much
fun.
And
we love Best Buy and their product and everything about Best Buy.
I'm a platinum member. I'm a platinum member. So, you know, man, I don't know if that pushes any weight. You guys give a call to Best Buy.
All right, Geek Squad, let's go.
Let's do it.
I can't wait to get a call from Dylan's Candy Bar, who's like, "No, we want you back." Which I think you'd like as a candy man. You know, I bet you.
I have no problems going back there. Yeah, I mean, I go there on my own.
Oh man,
Joe, we got to ask. This is a season finale too. Where does it rank for you out of all the season finales?
Oh, good question.
I mean, it's our first one, which is something to be said about that. I think there's a lot of comedy in it. I think one of our strongest season finales. I mean, it ranked for sure. I mean, it's definitely funny. It's definitely top eight if I have to rank.
That's where I was going
to
put it.
Nice.
Yeah. I think if I had to pick my favorite season finale, though.
Nitro Circus. I'm just kidding.
Because I survived. I cheated death at Nitro Circus. I think the thing for me is if you look at shows, we've always went with the mentality to make our premieres stronger than our finales. Because when the finale happened, we were over. Yeah. With the premiere, you want to show people hey, come tune in next week because we got stuff. So I think our premieres have always been stronger than our finales.
Yeah.
Across the board. And I think that's something. And if you look at the way we air, the way that True TV airs us, Tina, is that, you know, we need multiple season premieres because we have a 26 episode order. So we come back multiple times and we have multiple finales, or what feels like a finale. We have a mid season finale and, you know, we speak about mid-season four major episodes, our premiere, our mid season finale, our mid season premiere and our season finale. So it's a lot. Yeah. To have to come up with and stack the deck with your comedy.
Yeah.
So in our first season, they ordered eight episodes of the show, and then we got an extra eight episodes of the
back order.
But I remember you'd always like you taught me how to do this, but you would always have like the board with the cards of each bit and the punishments, like just the name of it written, and so you could physically see what the episode would look like. I don't know what that's called, so I'm just trying to explain it to the home listeners.
We had an episode board, which just has each challenge on an index card and each punishment on an index card, and we would basically just be able to, because each one's edited on their own, and we'd be able to swap bits out and place them to make the funniest episode.
Was the four-way hair punishment from the pilot, was that always like, was that at number eight and then you got more and then you put it at 16? Like, was that always the finale?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It had to be.
Right.
Because you can't come back to the haircuts.
Right. Right. And you knew that it was strong enough to. Okay. Yeah. Great. Yeah. That's a good one.
And I also, it felt like a season finale. It felt like a finale, you know.
You're so right, though, about the premieres, because I think like skydiving is a premiere episode.
It is.
Three, right? Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, that's cool to go out the gate like that rather than focus.
Well, you have to. Especially you want to put your funny stuff first. And then quickly, everything became pretty equally as funny. And it was like, okay, they were easier to build the episodes, you know? And then I only think there's a couple where you look at them and you're like, this isn't the strongest episode that we've had, but it's hard because when you go up against such iconic things, you know, of course some stuff is going to fall a little lower on the ladder, you know, just be entertaining and not just be as iconic, I think.
Wow. Well, stay iconic. That's my advice.
Yeah. Oh. Well, thanks guys for having me. I got to get going.
All right, I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for joining us.
You got it. It was fun.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us.
You got look it. At that. Tina, it was great to see all the puppy. Oh, look at the puppy.
Yeah.
The whole time that my puppy's been here, Joe. Can you believe it?
That's great. My six are inside.
You're sick. Quick question for you before you go, because Murr got this right, so I want to see if you got it right.
Go.
What's the date of the series premiere?
December 11th, right? December 11th, 2000, and my mom was alive, so 2011, right? No.
You got the year right, but the date is wrong.
It's not December 11th? It's December 15th?
December
15th?
Yep.
December 15th.
There you go.
December 15th. December 15th, 2011?
2011, yep.
Right. That's right. December 15th, 2011.
Open bar. At that premiere.
Yeah, that week. That we got.
He told us about the premiere.
That we got sponsored. Yeah, that I had to go out and friggin' wheel and deal to get people to sponsor it. I was making phone calls to get our premiere party sponsored by Bulldog Vodka and Bulldog Gin.
Right,
gin was
right.
It a gin?
Bulldog Gin.
Bulldog Gin and we got a vodka.
I could look at the photos. Sky Vodka. Yeah, I could look at the photos because you had to make one of those backgrounds, which I was like,
yep.
We're legit. We have a background for photos.
Yeah. Like the step and repeat.
Yeah, we made our own step.
You
and
actually
repeat.
Made.
We had our own step and repeat. I'm not kidding. I found a coupon online to get it printed because we had to pay for it. Yeah. We throw our own premiere party. We actually had. Did he tell you that we had to make the hotel get cable because the hotel didn't have True TV? Yeah, we had to make them get a different cable package so they would get True TV.
That is funny.
Which is amazing. Yeah. Like that's truly.
Yeah,
you've been helping the network ever since 2011. Oh my god, that's so funny.
Yeah.
Wow,
that's great.
I want to thank Joe Gatto for being here. I want to thank you all for listening. That's this episode. Stay tuned for next week when we have another special guest. Ooh.
Ooh.
Exciting. Thanks for listening. Bye, guys.
Bye.